I have a question to ponder today. If you don't mind, you can take your copies of the scripture. If you don't have one, there's one there in the pew rack. We'll be in Luke chapter 1, a familiar passage. But I just want to ask you, for me, I was thinking about this again this week. Do you ever wonder why God chose to save the world the way he did? It seems kind of peculiar when you really step back and just kind of think about it. I mean, think of the players he chose to play in this salvation drama. You have a couple of peasant parents, and the whole situation works itself out kind of scandalous in their day and time. And Jesus, who's to be the King of Kings, is born in obscurity in a stable. And then God would choose shepherds. These would be the lowest of the low in their culture. Not to just come by and check on the baby to make a pretty manger scene, but to be the first to herald the coming of the king. That's a pretty big task, and he chose shepherds. No one listens to shepherds, and he chose it. It just seems strange to me. And then on top of that, he would choose some non-Jewish people, wise men, to come a few years after Jesus' birth to bring gifts for a king. Here comes a non-Jewish group of people to proclaim the King of the Jews. It just seems strange to me. Wouldn't you pick someone in the Jewish realm of authority to say, oh, this is the one? It just seems odd that God would choose this strange way to save the world. And for me, the strangest is that phrase you see there on the screen, a virgin named Mary. Just that phrase in itself needs to kind of catch us off guard, but I'm afraid it really doesn't much anymore. Just to imagine that a virgin had a baby should make us all kind of stop and go, well, now we're talking about something crazy. But we kind of gotten used to the story, haven't we? We know it pretty well. We get to the point where the unbelievable and the amazing becomes something that we're just kind of comfortable with. At least for me, it can be that way. So I just thought we would take a moment and be a little more uncomfortable with the Christmas story. Maybe that's the wrong way to say it. Or at least try to look at it with new eyes and listen with new ears, the way Mary probably would have heard it. Because there's no doubt, I like that picture. And the picture of that, whoever's portraying Mary there, just looks like, what? What just happened to me? I can imagine that she was just full with over and over again. And, you know, it tells us that she pondered these things over. You know, what a thoughtful person. You can imagine Mary just thought, this is the weirdest thing. So I want to think about it in terms of the strange way that God would save the world today and realize that that same God that came to her comes to us and asks us to partner with him in this strange thing we call the gospel life that we're called to live. So just want to think about that a little bit this morning. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the text in Luke chapter 1. Oh, Father, we come before you recognizing our weakness. We also recognize, Father, that we think we know more than we do, that we think we can understand you a lot better than we really can. So, Lord, today as we look to your word, I pray you would help us to recognize your enormity in our smallness, and also to stop and wonder and worship at your love that would come to us in our weakness and call us to your side. We love you, and we ask for your guidance as we look in your word this morning. We pray it in that wonderful, wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. Well, we begin our strange journey with a greeting that was rather troubling, at least for Mary. You see it there in verse 26 of chapter 1. Let's read that, or y'all follow along as I read it. It says, in the sixth month, before we read it, let's just kind of paint the picture. What sixth month are we talking about? Well, we're talking about the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Y'all know Elizabeth, right? She's the relative of Mary, the virgin Mary. You know Elizabeth, she was the old woman who couldn't have kids. In fact, she was known to not ever be able to have kids. But she's 6 months pregnant. So that's where we begin this strange tale. If you were to back up, Luke really hangs out with this idea of God's amazing ability to do what we just wouldn't do. God does what we just wouldn't do. Let that sit over you as you think about this today. So let's read now that we have that in our mind. In the sixth month, God sent an angel. Okay, that's not strange. An angel Gabriel to Nazareth. That's not strange. A little no place in town to bring this amazing message. Okay, beat that dead horse. Let's read the text. All right, in the sixth month, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to marry a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Verse 29 says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered, what kind of greeting might this be? So here we are in stage two of God's final act of the salvation story. He starts it with coming to Elizabeth, which is a great thing to read, and we find that Mary's story is actually pocketed right in between the announcement of John the Baptist coming in Elizabeth, and then the rest of that story. And right in that pocketed is this amazing act two, where we enter into the life of this character, a virgin named Mary. Again, that should be enough to kind of stop us to realize God's about to do something that just normally doesn't happen. I don't know about you, but I don't know very many virgins who've had babies. He does the impossible and the unbelievable, and we'll talk about that. But let's stop for a second and notice Mary's reaction. This has always fascinated me. An angel appeared to Mary. What is it that she's troubled by? His greeting. I don't think I'd be too concerned about it. I wouldn't even hear what he's saying. There's an angel here talking to me. But she is troubled by his greeting. What's his greeting? "You're highly favored, Mary." Greetings, you who are highly favored by God. It's a great word when you look at it. It's a derivative of the word that we use for grace. We're used to hearing, in fact, we define grace as God's unmerited favor. Well, this word, highly favored, it could even be said, God has graciously favored you in ways you don't deserve, Mary. And that's probably how she heard it, because she was troubled by this thought. "I'm just a normal person," Mary thought, "a nobody in a nowhere town, pledged to marry a carpenter, just a couple of peasants. Why would the Lord highly favor? Why would he look upon me as a special instrument for something that he would intend to use for anything that he wants to do?" She was troubled by that. In fact, the word trouble is an interesting word in itself. It really means, you know, because when it's more than just going, "I'm perplexed. What did he mean by that?" She was angst. She was confused. She was thoroughly stirred up, is what one translator of that Greek word would put. Thoroughly stirred up, confused, perplexed, wholly disturbed, and agitated. This caught her off guard. The phrase and this greeting that an angel says to this young girl is more troubling than the fact that an angel is talking to her. You see, I think Luke wanted us to relate to Mary, not to put Mary up on a pedestal. She wasn't special in that she merited God's favor. She was just like us, and God came to her. We find that she is just the same as we are, insecure, not well known, doesn't see herself as someone who could play a big role in God's plan and his kingdom. It makes me think of what James says in James 4:6 when he talks about who God opposes and who he kind of leans into. Just hear what James wrote in James 4:6. "But he gives more grace." There's that word grace or favor. "That's why the scriptures say God opposes the proud, but he shows favor," or "he shows grace to the humble." Mary was troubled by this thought because she just thought, "Well, what would God want to do with me?" And for me, I just want us to think about that. Do you realize that God comes to us as believers, each one of us as followers of him? We don't just get saved so we can be part of something bigger than ourselves and blend into the fabric of that community. God has a role for each one of us to play in that. And he would come to us and say, greetings, you who are highly favored. You who feel so undeserved because of your life and the mistakes you've made, I have a plan for you. Lean into that. Think about what the Apostle Paul, when he described how he would describe us as Christians, that we're like clay pots, that we're like jars of clay in 2 Corinthians 4:7, that carry this treasure of the gospel. Mary understood that enough that it troubled her. And I think sometimes we're not troubled enough by that. We're going, well, sure, the Lord favored. He showed me grace. We've heard this so much that we can not be as moved by that simple reality that God favors us, that he has a plan to use us and our mess for his glory. Every one of us who call on him as Savior, he has a plan for us. Oh, not me. That's for someone else. No, it's for all of us. That greeting was troubling, and maybe it is for you. And if it is, then maybe you're ready for the plan. The plan for Mary was unexpected, and it usually is for us too. This really, even you could even say, almost unbelievable. It was caught her off guard, I can imagine. Listen to the plan that the angel lays out for Mary in verse 30. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid. I always find that interesting that whenever God calls on people that he says, don't be afraid. I think God knows something about the difficulty of really following him. It's something to fear. We'll talk about that in a minute. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child, and you will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, some of that probably wasn't too surprising to Mary, but other parts of that little statement, I'm sure, caught her off guard. It always makes me think, when I really begin to think about how God does things, his plan, and how he approaches it, it's not normally the way I would think it should be done. It makes me think about what Isaiah the prophet wrote in chapter 55 of his prophecy. He says this, speaking for God, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Mary had in mind what kind of Messiah would come. That second part of this, you see it in verse 32 is where it starts, of this plan that he lays out, the angel lays out for Mary. I'm sure it wasn't too shocking that there would be a son and he would be the Most High. They were expecting a Messiah that would come and be this amazing man. I'm not sure she expected it to be the actual Son of God, a God-man, fully God and fully human. But she would have understood this prophecy and probably not taken aback by the fact that he would be called the Son of the Most High, or that he would sit on the throne of his father David, or that he would unite even the whole house of Jacob, not just one part of the nation of Israel, but all of it. And the implication there, really, when you study it, is God came to unite all of his people, not just the Jewish nation. And then that statement that his kingdom would be forever, again, probably not real shocking for Mary to hear that. Although it probably should have been, to help her realize that this kingdom, that the Messiah was going to come, that she had in mind and everyone in her day had in mind, that was going to come and be this conquering king that would set everything right and rebuild the people of Israel on the earth, was really more of a spiritual kingdom. It was really more of a conquering of individual hearts. That was unexpected. And that she probably wouldn't learn for years. I'm sure when she heard this, she heard the prophet Isaiah. This wonderful, we read this a lot at Christmas, Isaiah 9:6-7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I'm sure that sounded a lot like Son of Most High to her when she heard the angel say that. The rest of that prophecy says, in the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. It'll be eternal, just like the angel said. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom and establish and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. God will do what he said he was going to do, Mary. And Mary, I'm sure being a faithful Jew, would understand that. And she would be anticipating and desiring and praying for this amazing thing to happen. But what was unexpected was the first part of that. Mary, the most amazing thing that's supposed to happen to your people is going to come through you. Well, there you go. That's a good timing, wasn't it? How do you shut that thing down? Well, that's fun. Can we unplug it or something? Oh. The organ is just playing by itself. That's unexpected. I feel like I need to tell a ghost story or something. I thought Peggy just got all excited and we're about to go to church. I would talk, but no one would hear anything I'd say. So, all right, there we go. Well, that was fun. His plan is unexpected. Everybody need a little break there, right? Let's get back into it. And it was unexpected because God was going to use Mary. You see the first part of that deal. Again, he says, don't be afraid, Mary. God has found favor with you. God favors the unlikely. Mary was a nobody. She was a peasant girl. She was not someone that the king of the universe should come from. She understood that this powerful person was going to come, but to think it would come through her, that was unlikely. That was unexpected. No one was looking for that, and especially her. But God says, you've been favored. And not only that, God's going to give you this child while you're a virgin. That's more than unexpected. That's pretty unbelievable. God was going to do something supernatural in you that had no other explanation, but God did it. And I'm sure the biggest thing for that is no one's really going to be able to prove it, because she was betrothed to be married. She is in the year process between the marriage beginning and the moment that they consummate that marriage a year later in the Jewish system. She was locked into marriage, but she hadn't had any kind of relation with a man that would make her anything but a virgin. So she thought, well, this doesn't make any sense. I can't have a baby because none of that stuff has happened for me. Supernatural, unlikely. And then he says, here, you're going to name the baby this, Jesus. Lock this in. If you haven't got it in your brain as a follower of Christ yet, you need to know what Jesus means. It means Yahweh is salvation. You don't have that, lock it in your brain. The Lord is salvation. His name tells his mission. And I'm sure Mary didn't know it at the time, but Jesus himself would be salvation for anyone who would believe. It would take his death on the cross. And I'm sure in that moment, as he hung up there, she was still confused about what it meant for Jesus to be God's salvation until he rose from the dead. Yeah, the unexpected just keeps coming for Mary. But we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. To imagine that Mary would be the mother of the Messiah, it was unexpected for her to think about. And this story needs to speak to us today. It needs to speak into our hearts this truth. God chooses the unlikely. God chooses you and me right where we are, even when we don't feel prepared and like we have very little to offer God, whether it be with our age or our talent or our mental capacity. God knows. I love what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:26. Brothers, think of what you were. He doesn't even say who you were. Think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. There was one person that wrote about this strange story with God entering into it the way he did. The promised one. The Messiah that was coming entered into human life as he still seeks to meet it at the very level of everyday experience with everyday people. God's plan was unexpected, and he showed up at this moment in Mary's life when she was not at all prepared for it. And he shows up for us, maybe even today, and he's whispering into your heart, I have something for you. If you'll just trust me, if you'll just walk with me with my plan and lay aside your own plan for your life and trust me with yours, with mine. It's not going to be understandable at times. It's going to be out of your reach to outguess God because my thoughts are higher than yours, but you can trust me. It may seem unexpected, but it'll all happen according to schedule, his schedule. But there's something else to see here to me that's the best part of the story. Not only is this plan unexpectable, it's impossible. It's impossible that is made possible. How in the world does a virgin have a baby? That was Mary's question. Let's read it in verse 34. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel said, or answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For the Holy One to be born in you will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. Nothing is impossible with God. Yeah, Mary asked the question that for a lot of people is the end of their search for understanding salvation through Jesus. It just doesn't make sense to a scientific mind that a virgin could have a baby without some kind of modern scientific help to allow that to happen. It just doesn't make sense. And we could spend time trying to argue that point. I found one that was interesting to me this past week as I was studying. It was common in literature of that time for people to kind of exaggerate when they were telling birth stories of important people. I remember reading one about Moses, which was pretty interesting that we don't have time to talk about. But it's important to understand what Luke says at the beginning of his gospel. He writes out an orderly account. See, what Luke was trying to do was be very specific to the historical accuracy of what he was talking about with Jesus. So if Luke says that Mary was a virgin, it was because he believed she was a virgin. But again, that information is helpful for us as believers. And we go, oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. But you go try to use that on someone who's a cynic, who doesn't believe in the virgin birth, and they'll talk you under the table because there's no proof. There's just none. This is a faith proposition. You see, the objection that anyone would have to the virgin birth is simply a presupposition, a way of thinking that says, plain and simple, God doesn't do miracles. If there is a God at all, he set things in place and he's just letting it run like a watchmaker would wind up a watch and let it go. You're not going to prove anything to them. But Mary had great faith. And her question wasn't, I don't believe this. It was, okay, I'm a virgin. How is this going to happen? Just a simple question. A question from faith. God wants us to ask questions, but then he wants us to believe the answer. So what does the angel do? He takes us right back to creation. What does he say? You're going to have a baby? And she's like, I don't know. I'm a virgin. If God would have waited a few more months or however many months they were in their betrothal till they were to consummate their marriage, and then it would make sense to me. But God's too early on this for me. It just doesn't make sense, angel. And the angel says, well, got news for you. This is only going to require you, because the Holy Spirit is going to hover over you just like he did at creation. You know, it talks about how the Spirit hovered over the waters and God created everything out of nothing. So if he could do that, then he could, what does it say specifically? Let's read it. And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. God will create in you his very life. The most special human being to ever be, because he will be fully God and fully human. Believe it, Mary. God is going to do the impossible. But he doesn't just leave her with that and leave her kind of hanging out there in the breeze to kind of figure this out. It was going to happen, I believe, regardless. God had chosen her and it was going to happen. But he tells her there's someone else who's had a kid. or in the process, 6 months in. Mary's not alone in this, that even Elizabeth, her relative, it says in verse 36, was with child. Someone who was known to be barren and not able to have kids is going to have a child. And then if we were to jump down to verse 39 and read the rest of the account of John the Baptist's birth, we see that Mary gets there and she must have hopped on the first donkey she could find and rode out of town to go find her relative Elizabeth. And she gets there and Elizabeth sees her and they meet and she speaks to her. And the Bible says that in that moment, John the Baptist, who was in the womb of Elizabeth, leaps. Y'all have heard the story. That's just strange. This whole thing is just strange. Let it be strange. God does amazing things. And then on top of that, look what it says. The Holy Spirit comes on Elizabeth. Pick it up in verse 42. Just want you to see it. So the Holy Spirit has impressed on Elizabeth this amazing statement to help Mary out in her moment of trying to figure all this out. You can only imagine she probably hadn't told Joseph yet. Verse 42 of the same chapter in Luke. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. For why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" That must have been all she needed, because she goes back and tells Mary, or tells Joseph, and the rest is history, as we say. But the angel really said all she needed to know in that last verse of that section, 34. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Do we believe that? I remember another passage when I thought about that, when Jesus tells his disciples that it's harder for a rich man to go through an eye of a needle than to get into heaven, that it's difficult for some folks to be saved. And the apostles go, well, if he can't be saved, what chance do we have? And this was Jesus' response in Matthew 19, 26. With man, this is impossible. Now, you can't save a soul, fellas. But with God, all things are possible. God will do whatever he wants. We just need to be part of the process. We need to believe that. Do you and I believe that a virgin could have a baby? It really happened. This is strange. This isn't a made-up story to tell in children's books. God came to us through a virgin. In a strange, strange, strange story. He can do whatever he wants. And he works in us to do exactly what he wants when he wants to do it. If he wants to raise the dead, he can't. Think about this. If you can't believe the virgin birth, how in the world are you going to believe that God could raise his son from the dead? The virgin birth and the resurrection are bookends of the same story. It takes faith to believe that God can save any of us. It's a strange story. Do you believe it? That God can do the impossible? Sometimes I wonder if I do. When I read this story, I remember I need to. He can do whatever he wants. I can keep praying for that friend that doesn't know Christ. I can keep praying for that loved one who year after year has rejected Jesus, because God can save him if he wants to. I can't, but he can. God can do the impossible. Whether he chooses to or not really doesn't matter. But do you believe it? Are you walking in that kind of strange life, or are you just living like everyone else? Let your faith go deeper. His plan's unexpected. It's going to blow you out of the water when you least expect it. It's going to happen in times when you're not ready for it, but he has a plan for you and for me. And it will be impossible to think that he could do what he wants to do, but he can, and he will. So there's really only one response. It's willingness. It's a humble willingness, right? Look at the words of Mary. So the angel comes and says, "You're highly favored." And she's like, "Well, I'm just a regular girl." No, you're highly favored. Don't let that trouble you, Mary. You are highly favored. In fact, you get to play the role that no one else will. The Son of God is going to be born in you. Oh, Mary, you don't understand. It's, oh, unexpected, but you're going to, oh, the life you're going to have. He will be called Son of God, of the Most High. He will rule in ways that you don't understand. He'll change hearts one at a time as he melts the heart of stone into the heart of flesh. He'll do it. And oh, Mary, you get to play a role in this. So she takes a deep breath and she says this. Verse 38. I am the Lord's servant. Mary said, Mary answered, may it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Just boop. Strange. Let the story be strange. This isn't a small statement. What Mary says is not, okay, sounds good. See how this works out. She understood that if she was found to be pregnant at this particular moment in her life, it could be really bad for her. Her husband would be required to divorce her because she was found pregnant. And no one's going to believe that God put a baby in her womb. That's impossible. She knew to say, okay, God, whatever. Let's do this thing. It was a big, humongous commitment. But I don't think she really understood, but she was willing. She understood something about herself. What did she say about herself? I'm the Lord's servant. Your Lord, I'm not, and I'm just your servant. I'll do whatever you want. I'm willing, just as you say. Because she doesn't know this strange story is going to have some twists and some turns. Just think through it just for a minute here as we get ready to close. The public ridicule and the whispers of the moment when they found out she was pregnant in her town, well, that was sure to come. But then there was this trip across the desert to Bethlehem as she was 9 months pregnant. Then that lonely night in a dirty stable. And then those rough, gruff shepherds. Well, there's a baby in here. You know, how is that? What strange. Look at that. This is that angel said, an angel appeared to you? This is a weird story. And then she goes to make and her husband into the temple to do what you would do as a good Jew with a seven week old or day old baby. And these two old saints say, oh, they have some things to say about this baby that just make her go, wow. And she ponders it. She thinks about it. And then they have to run out of town to flee to Egypt because there's a crazy king that wants to kill the baby. And then they go back home at some point. At the age of 12, they lose Jesus in the temple. She comes running to find him and says, what are you doing to me and your dad? And he calmly sits there and goes, Mom, I've got to be about my father's work. You know that. Don't you know she, oh yeah, I was a virgin. You're the Son of God. This strange story that just keeps going. This mother's love who had to watch her son leave after her father, her husband had died somewhere between the time that Jesus was 12 and 30. And there he goes into the world to tell the whole world that he's the Son of God. This mother watches as she approaches one day in this crowd of people and they're just trying to get him out of the house because it's just getting out of hand. And she hears Jesus say, my mother and brothers, they do the will of the Father. If they're not going to do that, then I don't know too much about that. Don't you know how that cut through her as a mother who loved her son? But she believed. And then she would see that fateful day as he was beaten beyond recognition. Undeserved, yet he was willing. She saw him take the last breaths of agony on the cross. She saw that. Then she got to see him alive. She held those pierced hands and I'm sure embraced her son at some point after the resurrection. Oh, Mary had a strange road to walk, but she was willing. She was willing to do it. And I don't know what the Lord would have for you or for me, but I know this. I want to be like Mary. I want to be able to say, I'm your servant and I'm willing. Show that last picture. We tend to see these pictures all this time of year, right? We romanticize Christmas. whether it's a manger or one of these to me are the funniest. Not really funny, but I don't think it was that easy. I don't think she just hopped on the camel and off they went. That was a rough moment on their trip, but that looks nice and romanticized, doesn't it? I want to challenge you the rest of this season. As you see postcards and pictures of the manger scene, and of that, you would just stop and say, that's a strange thing. God, this is weird that you would do this the way you did, but I want to partner with you in whatever it is you have in this world. I want to be a part of your kingdom. As weird and as strange as it may be, I want to follow you in this world and walk in ways that we are aliens and strangers in this world. I'm your servant and I'm willing. Maybe you could pray with her. Lord, I'm troubled by your grace. The fact that you would think that you would want to use me, that's hard for me to wrap my brain around, but I'm willing to trust you. I'm willing to believe that your ways will always catch me by surprise and you'll take it a different direction than I expect, but I'm willing to be flexible enough to go the way you go and not be stubborn and stay in the way that I think you should go. I'm willing to trust your unexpected plan, and I'm slow to trust you, really slow to trust you when it seems impossible, but I will believe, oh God, that you can do the impossible, and you will, and I'm willing. Hope you'll pray that with Mary this Christmas season. As we get ready to have our invitation, we definitely want to offer anyone here that hears this story and goes, you know, I've been fighting God long enough. It's time that I get on the right side of history and believe the story and give my life to him. If you would like to do that today, I'd ask you to do something strange. Walk down an aisle in a church. We'd have you talk with one of our counselors and pray with you and help you along that journey of faith. But for most of us, we're here and we believe the story just like Mary did. And maybe we just need to echo that prayer. So as we sing the hymn of invitation, maybe you don't need to sing. Maybe you just need to breathe a prayer that says, I'm willing. May it be unto me as you have said. Whatever that would mean for me, God, I'm available for you. Let's pray together. Lord, we are grateful that your word doesn't paint an easy picture. That when we look to your word, it doesn't say things that we can explain. It tells us the truth. And it tells us how you acted and how you worked in this world and how you continue to do so. And Lord, we just want to come before you in the same spirit of Mary and just say, we're your servants. We trust you enough. And we would ask that you would do in us exactly what you would want to do. And that in our resistance that we would see that and we would stop and we would trust you more in moments where it seems impossible. Thank you for this time of year that reminds us that you come to us in unexpected ways and you call out unexpected people to work with you in a plan that you've been working out for thousands of years. There's no surprises for you, but there's plenty for us, and we pray we would trust you. So, Lord, now as we turn to a time of invitation, I pray our hearts would engage with yours and allow you to speak to us and we could speak to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.